Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. James Howell producing the show for Drew. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 20 minutes right here on 96.5 The Fam. But let's get right back into Chiefs Colts. Also, just the rest of the way, what is at stake for the Chiefs? What's that path look like? Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joins us. He's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. I know you got players only tonight as well, right? 6 o'clock. We'll get to that in just a bit, Danan. But this spot that Kansas City's in right now, last week we had you on and we said, hey, it was maybe the biggest regular season game potentially for Mahomes, divisional aspirations and everything on the line. This is the game of the season, though, it feels like, on Sunday. I mean, to me, this is make or break.
Well, it seems like every game going forward, as long as we win, is the game of the season, because that's the position that we've put ourselves in. Very unfamiliar territory to think about that in this circumstance. You're talking about week 12 of the season. We're not talking about kind of hybrid must wins because we want to stay in the hunt for the number one seed or have the AFC championship run through GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. We're talking about playoff implications. And like, based on how the schedules of every team in the AFC that's equal or above us right now, I feel like we have to be at least 6-1, maybe 5-2 could win us the last spot in the playoff race, depending on who those two losses are against and how things unfold with teams ahead of us. I mean, ultimately we're in a position where, outside of losing to us, we want the Indianapolis Colts to win out. Outside of losing to us, we want the Denver Broncos to go ahead and win out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're in a position where if we lose a game, although I hate to say it because I have some very, very, very obnoxious Dallas Cowboy fans as family, that would be the game that, if you said, Danan, we have to lose one of these upcoming games, which one would it be? It would likely be the Dallas Cowboys game. And like, to think about it from that perspective, like, that's tough to digest as a Chiefs fan. I mean, we've been spoiled in a good way, a very good way, for this stretch of times since 2018, since Patrick took over. But it's really tough to digest. That, I mean, that's kind of where it is right now, and every game matters.
How much do you buy into the discussion that we've had on this show and a lot of people have been having about particularly the Broncos game, but I think it's a season long thing, which is the predictable nature perhaps of the offense, maybe even so much the defense, hearing Chris Jones talk about what the Broncos knew. Was that just, hey, look, the Broncos are paid to look at film as well and come up with schemes as well that they can attack? Or do you truly think that there's too many things that are predictable right now for Kansas City?
I totally disagree with that whole take from Chris Jones. I don't like it on multiple levels. He is definitely open to his opinion. He has garnered enough respect and enough equity to be able to say what he wants. He'll be on the Ring of Honor, likely in the Hall of Fame when his career is up. I just don't like when we're losing games that we won last year. We were 12-0, including the playoffs, in one-score games. We're 0-5 in those same one-score games. Did you say anything last year about teams knowing where we were or what we were doing? No, because it was convenient not to, because we were winning those games. And let's also face it, there is some predictability for every team. Heck, I'm sitting up in the booth with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler on the sideline, and I'm predicting stuff. That doesn't mean that you can't go out and win. When Chris Jones moves from the defensive tackle out to defensive end, don't you know what he's going to do? Do you think he's going to just stand there at the defensive end position and not rush the quarterback? And the only reason that he's really moving out there is because he wants the one-on-one matchup against that offensive tackle, usually the right tackle? Like, that's predictable. So don't like when you're maneuvering in this window and you're maneuvering within this defense or offense, like, don't start talking about predictability just because it's not working for you right now, when predictability has always worked for you. It's not rocket science that when you're looking at 95 in the middle of the defense or on the outside edge, he's doing certain things. So I just don't like when players start coming out because it's not working for them at this time, that now all of a sudden there needs to be some tightening of the screws defensively and we need to disguise better. We didn't need to do that last year when we were winning 12 games.
I think that maybe some of that, though, is, Danan, and like, I don't disagree with the general consensus with that, but there is this, like, Travis Kelce's at a new heights. He thinks that this team would beat last year's team. And like, on paper, right, there's lots of things they do better. They're better in points per game, points allowed per game, points per play, all the other stuff. There's lots of numbers. But at some point, it's results. And so, like, I don't want them to just keep doing the same thing just because it's working better than last year. Because in the biggest area, the like win-loss, it's not working as well. Specifically late in games, I guess, is maybe where I'm maybe being a little bit more finicky, or coming out of half where I don't feel like they've been nearly as good. I think that's where I want to see some variance.
Oh, absolutely. I think multiple things can be true at the same time. I do agree with you on that last point, and Mitch Holthus did a great job of highlighting it, I believe, during the pregame or right before kickoff in this last game, specifically regarding the wraparound, the double dipping. I even interviewed Andy Reid, and I'll share that interview on Players Only tonight, about that dynamic and how in the five losses, and don't quote me on this, but I'm almost sure it's true, in the five losses, at least four of those losses, we won the coin toss, and we had the ball inside 2 minutes before half, and we came out to get the ball at the after halftime to open the third quarter. And in either or both of those scenarios, we either were three and out or we threw an interception. And then in the games that we won, I believe we were up to 9 touchdowns, no three and outs. So, like, yes, the game comes down to specific plays and circumstances, and we all dial into, okay, well, what did the offense do with 2 minutes left in the game? And what did the defense do when Trevor Lawrence had to drive the field for a touchdown? Yes, that is all true as well. But if you look at two opportunities, consecutive opportunities to put points on the board, and you come away with zero, and it just so happens that you've lost all of those games, that's telling as well. So it's not always about from the opening kickoff, start fast, finish strong, like we always talk about. It could be about those specific opportunities that have gone by the wayside and you're not capitalizing on it. And they have to figure that part out before you start to figure out the other stuff.
We're talking to Danan Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. I look, Patrick Mahomes certainly has not been as sharp in those big moments. There's no, I think, disputing that, but it's never as simple as just one individual person. What do you think has led to, you know, the one or two plays late in games, like the throw to Breshard Smith, for example? You know, as much as I want them to run the football more, the play was designed, like, Breshard Smith was open. Mahomes just did not get the ball out quick enough to him. What, is it a trust thing? What do you think has changed in the biggest moments this year, perhaps, for Mahomes than a year ago or 2 years ago?
I think it kind of goes back to a statement you've heard me say. My father told me when I was growing up, some things that make you laugh will make you cry. A lot of things, as far as the improv and magic fashion of Patrick Mahomes, they make us cheer. Heck, you hear me on the broadcast giggling in the background when Mitch is making calls on some magical plays, because they make you laugh, they're entertaining, but then there's also the opposite side of that. And when you're working off of improv more than timing and scheduling, sometimes you miss a guy. You miss that easy throw that we think is easy. You miss that time throw down the sideline, the deep passes that are missing. That also is a component of how the defense presents itself. If they're recognizing that, and this is not a specific stat, but let's say they're recognizing that Patrick Mahomes only works on schedule on time 12% of the time, where he gets the snap, drops back, plants his right foot, delivers the football, all in one fluid motion. That's on schedule. Let's say he only does that 12% of the time. As a defense, I just need to be on point for 88% of the time. The 88% where he is not working on schedule, and he's improvising. And I think that is correlated to some of the missed throws down the sideline, because you're not used to throwing on time, and you're not planting that back foot and delivering more times than not. And you see other quarterbacks that are definitely less skilled, definitely worse quarterbacks. I think everybody would say, heck, you guys are talking about the MVP race.
Uh-huh.
I don't think any of those quarterbacks anybody would say is better than Patrick Mahomes. But for some reason, on certain throws, especially the timed ones, they're more accurate. I don't know how you can cure that in week 12, but I think that could be a story that, depending on how we rebound and if we make this a magical season, or if it becomes one that we want to sweep under the rug and forget about, I think it's going to tie directly into some of those.
Do you think, oddly enough, the fact that they have so many weapons that fortunately are healthy this year, like it was the dream scenario everybody was hoping for, right? Worthy and Rice and Brown and Kelsey, everybody all together. Do you think that has made calling games for Nagy and Andy tougher? I was talking about this with Nate Taylor the other day, that you got so many toys basically to play with that in a weird way, are you overcomplicating it? Are you trying to get everybody involved? Are you trying to get too cute?
I think there could be. I mean, everybody's human, and you want to make everybody happy. I think the bigger picture is guys becoming acclimated or more acclimated to their roles with all of these weapons at our disposal. And what I mean by that is, think about Xavier Worthy. Since he's come into the league, up until, three games ago, he was the number one guy. While he was healthy, he was the number one guy. And as a rookie, and then in your second year, and now all of a sudden, Rashee Rice comes back and maybe you're not the number one guy. So how do I exist as being that number two target? We see that all across the landscape of the NFL. Heck, right now, you can make an argument that there's only two receivers. T. Higgins is the number one that jumps out to me that has made a career at being okay with being the number two receiver and always being ready as the number two guy. Most other players, you see them pouting on the sideline if they're number two, because they've been number one before. So to ask a young guy like Xavier, that has been the main component of the offense for most of his career up until this point, to now not necessarily be in that zone, that's a tall task. And then Travis Kelce also being existing in that. You know, he hasn't been a part of this kind of arsenal since the Legion of Zoom. And he was still the main guy, one of the main guys besides he and Tyreek Hill. So I think there's an adjustment. It's not just about Matt Nagy and Andy Reid. I think it's about the guys recognizing, hey, I might not be the primary like I'm used to being, but I still got to be primary in my mind and how I run my routes and how I create separation. And I might not get the ball when I run my best route. Like, that happens as a wide receiver. I run the best route possible. I got the guy stumbling. It's like on the NBA court where you cross a guy over and he stumbles and you miss the jump shot. Like, it just might not go in for you at that time, but you got to be able to jump back at the line of scrimmage and say, I'm going to run the best route again next time. because it might come to me. And 10 times, it might not ever come to me, but the 11th time, I still have to be ready. And I feel like that's a component, if you look at the film, where some guys, they don't seem like they are as comfortable in recognizing this circumstance and this situation. I got to be viable as I would be if I was the total number one from the huddle.
Do you think the Chiefs defense is up for the task? They have the number one offense in the NFL coming to town on Sunday. We had said we'd sell out and say, go ahead, Daniel Jones, you beat us. Cool. Life is life, but sure as hell can't be Jonathan Taylor. You let dominate you.
Yeah. Who would have thought when the season, when the schedule came out, and thinking about our bye, when it came in, and who we were playing after the bye, and then not knowing what the circumstances would be for Shane Steichen and the Indianapolis Colts, that we would be in this position, and talking about our defense in regards to having their hands full in basically a must-win game. I mean, this is really like the Twilight Zone, I guess you can say. Having said that, I feel like our defense, like, I'd like to see more stout play in the middle of the defense specifically. I think our defensive line has to step up. And I just want to see the big plays from Chris Jones. I don't think that's too much to ask for. I want to see him. Last game, he had two tackles. Last game before that, I believe he had two tackles. Like, I just want to see more. Like, and that's not throwing shade to him. That's just saying, you know what? On every team, there is a premium, you know, Mercedes-Benz, Bentley, defensive lineman that makes plays. And he's our guy. He's the minister of the defense. Sack Nation, all of that stuff that we hear about on the commercials. This game, this circumstance, this time, being 5-5, like, that cream needs to rise to the top. So, and, like, there's no more debilitating way to approach a football game, or no way that you can slap a guy in the face more than to be able to run the ball down their throats. And as a defense, you got to be able to combat that out of pride circumstances, not just winning and losing, but just general pride. And I think if you are the leader of this defense, I know Nick Bolton is going to show up in the run game. I know Drew Tranquil is going to show up in the run game. Guess what? If those guys show up a lot, that means Taylor is getting 3 and 4 yards because they're the linebackers. Who's going to be at the front line of defense? You mentioned Mike Pinnell. I want to see those guys. That's why you went and got him back. Derek Nnadi. These guys are unsung heroes, but I want to see them step up in this game. Show me, show the Chiefs fans that you recognize your backs are against the wall by your effort and your energy and stopping a potent run game.
Danan, tonight, 6 o'clock, Players Only is back, right?
Yes, it is. You got me fired up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Man, shoot, I thought we were just going to be talking basic stuff here. Now I got to carry this energy to Players Only tonight.
I love it, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game and have a great show tonight.
Appreciate you, fellas.
There you go. That's Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He does have Players Only tonight, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. And then on Sunday, noon kickoff, Mitch Holthus, Danan Hughes, Josh Klingler right here on your home for the Chiefs. And our conversations with Danan Hughes are brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight. Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. Here in about 10 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get right back into what Travis Kelce had to say on his podcast, New Heights, about not only just this roster compared to a year ago, but just where they sit, the frustration around being a 5-5 football team. But in the meantime, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
All right, we go to Lowell, Massachusetts for this one. This one's got a twist here at the end. So let me just start. There was a masked man who is accused of fake drug sales. So two masked men in Lowell, Massachusetts were arrested after a wild incident involving a hatchet, fake drugs, and counterfeit money.
Okay.
So initially you have these two individuals that were spotted by police appearing to sell drugs. When an officer approached them, they turned on a man and started grabbing him and reaching into his pockets. One of the guys pulled out a hatchet, swung it at the victim, while this other guy ran away.
Goodness.
Police caught both men after a short chase. Now the victim, here's where it gets interesting. So the victim said he had just cashed a work check.
Okay.
Was carrying several hundred dollars that had been stolen. Another man then told police the parent had tried to rob him moments earlier. Here's where it gets interesting. Both men were lying in at least one way. Police found fake cocaine that one of the guys was trying to sell. So you got a guy trying to sell the fake cocaine with the hatchet. And then the guy that was trying to buy the drugs had 50 counterfeit $100 bills. So both men face robbery and assault charges. Say both were trying
They're
to screw
criminals.
Over each other. One guy was trying to sell a dude fake drugs. The other guy was trying to buy with fake money.
Honestly, you should have just taken the fake money for the fake drugs.
I mean,
boy, that is really something. Honestly, that's a special case.
Uh-huh.
I'm impressed that criminals both tried to commit the crime against each other.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it serves them right, ultimately, how that whole scenario played out.
Just makes me think of The Wire when he's telling him, he's like, does this look like money? Money be green! And he's yelling at him for taking the fake money, at least from the piece of paper that he tried to dirty up, at least on that end. And so, no, I mean, you got to be mindful of that. Have you ever accidentally gotten like a counterfeit piece of money or anything?
I haven't.
I've seen people complain about that, but I've never.
Yeah, I haven't. And I've worked, way back when I worked back in high school in like retail as well. And, if it was over 100, you got to,
the marker.
You worked at a bank, so you obviously were dealing with that. Like,
I didn't do that for every 100 at the bank, in fairness.
Not every 100. Let's put it this way. I never, that I know of, encountered a counterfeit bill or whatever.
Fair enough. Like, you didn't knowingly take
it. Yeah, maybe I did at some point.
Counterfeit cash.
Maybe I did, but I don't remember that. I certainly haven't,
You've never counterfeited money?
Yeah.
That's probably for the best, I would say.
Have you, Cody? This is where it gets dicey.
No.
We're not sure. James? James, I mean, the text line, the way people are accusing you of being a certain individual, have you interacted
any trouble with the law?
Any law trouble?
No legal
trouble?
I've never gotten in trouble with the law.
Never.
I don't believe something about the way James is saying that.
If we were to look it up, would we find anything?
Don't do that, please.
I've already admitted to my crimes on this show many times, James. Just counterfeiting money was never one of them. That's all.
I will say,
the ATM at my bank ripped me off for $10 and I couldn't decide whether or not it was. It said mobile deposit not available, took the money, and then said it wasn't available and then didn't show up in my account.
Huh.
And I had to the bank is like, well, that's the ATM company's thing. And I was like, is this worth fighting this $10 for? How many phone calls am I going to have to make to this ATM company for this $10? So I didn't. I just gave up. It's like, I don't care about it.
Wait, the bank didn't help you?
No.
Was it your bank?
Yes, but the ATM is serviced by a different company, and they're the ones who do the audits on it. That's just the way that it works.
So hold on. You're telling me whatever bank I belong to and I bank at. So I go there today and I go and I try to pull out $100 and I only get, let's just say, 50.
It might be bank by bank.
All right. And I only get 50. You're telling me I can't walk into the branch and say, hey, I was shorted 50. Let's figure this out. They're going to tell me I got to call some.
They give you the contact number because it's got to be. You know how much work it is to audit an ATM machine? The guy's going to come by with the Brinks truck and the security guard and the whole thing.
Look, I understand
because
they can't.
Because they've got a lot of people. People lie all the time about it. It's part of the problem.
I get that. If every person just walked in the bank and said I was shorted $100, they would.
And a guy will tell me, he's like, I need $50 out of my account. He's like, I have $100,000 in there. He had no account and no money.
Yeah.
So just saying things.
I get it, but there's got to be some balance here. I don't know. Someone said, coincidence. The incident that you guys were describing just happens to be the same week that Cody was having surgery.
Okay.
But he seems fine to me.
I wasn't in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Someone says, if it's their ATM, they'll take care of you. That's what I thought. Like,
it's
if
bank it's, to bank, but this is an
outside
service.
If it's a national chain, like if it's, you know, pick your major bank, you're telling me and they short me 50, they can't figure this thing out for me?
They're going to audit it eventually and find out that they're
That's fine,
down.
But if you're not lying, you're good.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Otherwise, they'll deduct the 50 right back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we've had the trash of the days before where somebody, all of a sudden, their bank account shows they got an extra 100 grand
and
in
they it. Took it all
and
out.
They took 100 grand out, even though the ATM wouldn't give you 100 grand, but you get the point. They took out a majority of it. And then all of a sudden, they owed the bank, 100 grand, and they didn't pay them back and they went to prison. There's no just miracle thing where one day your bank's going to make a $100,000 mistake
and then make you pay it back.
Yeah, you're not. I mean, it's not how life works. As much as that would be amazing.
Well, what if you just took it and you just said, "I'm going to risk it all on one redder"?
Oh my gosh,
redder plex.
Jeez.
First off, you're going to have to find.
They're
a
not
casino
letting you,
really
not letting
that
you put that down. Yeah, I don't think. But that would be obviously.
You have to get the pit boss over
extremely
there.
Extremely risky.
You're going to have to ask for some favors before you start placing that bet. That
Someone says they own a restaurant. Had a counterfeit $100 bill once that literally just said movie money on it. Other than the person did not pay much attention to that, took that dollar bill.
Sir, this says movie money. Bill in.
There you go. That's the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk more about what Travis Kelce had to say on his podcast, including comparing this year to last year and the frustration that a 5-5 season brings.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays starting at 10 on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com. Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Coming up in about an hour, Paul Charchi and Fantasy Football Hall of Famer are going to join us, get you set for week 12 of the NFL season. Thursday Night Football tonight. What do you do with Dalton Kincaid being ruled out? If you're looking for a tight end spot start, do you go with Dawson Knox? Also, what about the backfield for Houston with Woody Marks, Nick Chubb? It looks like it's Woody Marks. So we'll get into all that fantasy football talk. Playoffs for some leagues start in 2 weeks. So right around the corner. Guillotine leagues, maybe you're in those as well. It is getting very interesting in a lot of leagues. I'm in a dynasty league as well, man. I have to ask Charge about some trade proposals that I've been getting my way. Interesting stuff. People overvaluing certain draft picks and stuff like
that. Always thinking that their picks are worth more. You're like, every player's on every team right now.
It's a rookie
I'm just
draft.
About rookie draft. Third round. Who the hell am I getting in the third round?
You're getting the 30th rookie. Anyway, so we'll get into that with Charge later on. Meanwhile, let's talk some Chiefs football. Travis Kelce, New Heights podcast. Of course, yesterday, new episode. Jason and Travis were talking about where the team sits. And I think the most interesting part of it was when Jason was discussing the roster from a year ago to this year with Travis.
You know, it's frustrating where you guys are at. You're 5-5. Five of those losses, though, are one-score games. There's like one or two plays a game, and you guys could easily still be at the top of the AFC. Yep. Like, let me ask you this. This is what's crazy about the NFL. If this year's Chiefs team played last year's Chiefs team, who wins?
I'm taking this year's.
That's what I'm saying. I am, too. Somehow you guys are better, but you're sitting at 5-5. You're just not being, you're not executing as well at the end of games, which is very uncharacteristic for Pat and what you guys have been obviously last year.
It feels like it's all self-inflicting. And it feels like the answers are right there in front of us and we just got to do it.
Look, and that's why I can't quit the team yet and why I think they can win on Sunday and keep their season alive. But at the same time, I mean, this part is frustrating to hear. If they lose Sunday, then I don't care what the roster feels like it should be compared to last year. Like, nobody's going to care. Like, we can say this all we want. the roster's better, and it feels like this team is better than a year ago. If this team loses on Sunday and they're 5-6, then I don't really give a damn about what we think the head-to-head matchup, but the reality is they're 5-6 and they're going to miss the playoffs.
Agreed. Like, that part of it won't necessarily matter, but there is, like, and as we had said earlier, that is genuinely the frustrating thing about this team and why I don't have it in me to quit them yet. Like, why I, Gold, can't just be like, well, they're not making the playoffs. And again, I don't think anybody's crazy for saying that. I think Dusty maybe, he finally called it.
Anybody that thinks the season's over, I totally get it.
Yeah,
I totally get the thought process.
Yeah,
they're
5-5,
and they got to go, I think, 6-1. We've discussed it. Like, it's not a crazy thing at all.
It's not, but, like, that's what's frustrating. Because if you had asked me that same question even a couple of weeks ago, and I said,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This year's Chiefs team versus last year's Chiefs team. Neutral field, who wins? My answer would be this year's team. They're on paper significantly better offensively. They're also statistically better offensively in every category, except for penalties, in which they're about the same. They score more points, they get more yards, they're more efficient, they're more red zone efficient. It doesn't really matter the stat. They are a better offensive team than last year. And I don't think just not having Justin Reed and Chris Jones getting 1 year older means the defense is dramatically worse. Maybe it's a little worse, but I would think the offense is more better than last year's and the defense is worse than last year's. They're top 10 in scoring, both offensively and defensively. They shouldn't be 5-5. What I can't figure out is play calling, player, coach, not getting open. Why do they stink at the end of the game? And I think that that's where I'm borderline starting to wonder if it's yips. Like, as if they're getting in the end of the game, and when it's coming crunch time, a team that knows how to win in pivotal moments, all of a sudden feel like they don't got it. And so they panic, or they're just screwing up more than normal, because that's what it feels like.
Well, it's the pressing part of it. You know, that to me is, if you're trying to explain what has happened with Mahomes late in games.
Like a hitter who's gone 0-20?
I think it is clearly just he's pressing and trying to make the big play. And then when it wasn't happening early on in the season, that is still impacting his decision-making now. And then now you come off a game against Denver where they can say they don't pay attention to the outside noise all they want. That's fine. Everybody hears it. It's 2025. There's no way you don't hear what people are saying. I don't care whether, like, just because you're not sending out tweets doesn't mean you don't hear it. Like, just because a member on the Chiefs hasn't sent a tweet in 7 months doesn't mean he doesn't see what people are saying or hear what people are saying. Everybody is connected in one way or the other. You can block it out all you want. I don't buy anybody that acts as if they don't hear any of it. I'm sorry. Like, there's just no way that's true. And so when you have all this noise and everybody's talking about where you're at and how you're playing and all that, some players fold in those moments. Other players use that as motivation. You know, I think Patrick Mahomes is somebody that uses that as motivation. But, you know, what's tricky about Sunday, Cody, is we just got done saying, admittedly, last Thursday and Friday on the show that, all right, big spot. This is when they're at their best. Got to have a game. I trust Mahomes and Andy. And that's what they came out with out of the bye week, was that performance. So now in this game, I'm telling you, everything's on the line. Season's on the line. This is where Mahomes will play his best. But, like, that was the exact same scenario last week. The exact same scenario. And they didn't. They had one of their worst play calling days and coaching days of the season. And Mahomes did not connect deep down the field multiple times. Did not make a key throw on the 3rd-and-2 to Breshard Smith. You know, so it's kind of weird. It's this exact same scenario to me of why I think they can win. But at the same time, they didn't do that just a week ago.
I do think I have to ignore, for the rest of this season anyway, any of the previously held known things about the team the second they lost coming out of the bye week. because I saw the same stats. So we know the stats of them coming out of bye week, 22-3 going into
Oh, yeah, you weren't here on Monday. I said, I am no longer ever, I don't care what happens the rest of this year or next year, I am no longer talking about Andy Reid out of a bye week. Like, next year, I don't want to talk about it.
So
I'm done with the stat. I'm done with it.
Sure.
Done with it. It sounds great. Doesn't matter.
I could be talked into it in a different year, but for this year, I don't want any of the, like, they what they can do by trailing by double digits. Any of the stats that are previously held true about the Chiefs team are not true anymore for this year. Like, for instance, you do realize that the Chiefs, in every single year in which Patrick Mahomes has been the starter, they have had at least one winning streak of five games. Every single one.
Yeah.
Do they have any five-game winning streaks this year? They do not. Do I think they're getting ready to go on one starting Sunday? No, I don't. Like, any of the previously held things about the Chiefs, just typically about this team, are not true. They weren't better after a bye week. They weren't better against teams who run the ball well. They haven't been, you know, I don't think they're just going to win five games in a row. When trailing, they're not better at coming from behind. They're not better in fourth quarters than any team in NFL history. None of those things that have been true in every single other Chiefs team during this entire dynasty run have been true about this team. And so, like, they're going to have to win in ways normal NFL teams win, which is harder. It is harder to go on five-game winning streaks. It is harder to go in 4-1 because every game is going to come down to the end and you have to pray maybe they make a mistake or screw something up rather than you just grab it by the reins and take the victory. And so, and you're going to have to avoid screwing it up and some of these other things. It's going to be different. And I think that that's what gives me a lot of fear over them missing the playoffs the rest of the year. I would still predict that they did, but I'm not like optimistic.
Well, looking at the game then, who do you think offensively, I'm taking Mahomes out of this. I think we all agree he has to play better in the big spots. What offensive weapon has to step up the most this weekend to ensure that the Chiefs get the win? Who is
so,
it?
Like, even
913-586-7965.
Even if we included the offensive line, I don't think that's the answer. No DeForest Buckner. So, like, they're missing their best pass rusher. They're not, like, an epically good pass rush team anyway. Josh Simmons only allowed two pressures against Nick Bonito. So, like, he's a wall. I think the offensive line's back to its maximum capacity. Even if Kingsley misses with the concussion stuff, I think they're okay there. So I don't think it's an offensive lineman, even if we included them. I don't think it's fair to say Tyquan Thornton. He had 16 damn snaps in the game last week. I think the answer is fairly easily Rashee Rice. I think he has to be more productive with his touches. If you are going to get 10 to 12 targets a game, 5 to 8, 9 catches a game, you got to do more with him, man. I'm sorry, you're this team's number one wide receiver and you missed 6 games on your own accord. And to this point, you haven't stepped up as the dude yet. And so while they're using you more than anyone, they are not getting bang for their buck yet out of your production. And so for this game in particular, especially against a really good defense and Sauce Gardner and maybe Charvarius Ward and some good corners, he's got to win more. So I think it's Rice for me.
Yeah, I hate to give the same answer, but it's not Isaiah Pacheco coming back as much as I want them to run the football. They, to me, are in trouble.
Not a terrible answer. Yeah, they do need to run it.
They need to run the ball more, but I don't like him stepping up the most. I've seen him all year. I think there's still limitations there with what you're getting. Isaiah Pacheco is not going to be, to me, the key offensive weapon on Sunday. And a lot of that is also banking on the fact, I still don't think Andy Reid's just going to run the football more. So, like, what scenario are we going to see there? I think it's very clearly Rashee Rice. We already talked about Kelce, how as great as he has been this year, the offense, running through him again is a problem. So Rashee Rice is definitely the answer. He still is the most explosive yards after the catch guy within reason for this team.
I can Worthy hear Worthy.
I think very clearly now, between the ankle and the shoulder, something's just not right with him. That's kind of what I'm banking it on.
So
otherwise,
I'm going to step up in this game.
He's getting targeted plenty. I don't need Xavier Worthy getting more targets in a game. He's just not doing much with it. I think the guy that I think is capable of also, it's not just like who I hope. I think the guy that is most capable of having the biggest difference offensively for this game on Sunday is one player. Outside of Mahomes, it's Rashee Rice. That's why he's the answer. Would I love to see Xavier Worthy have his best game in weeks? Sure. I think the player, though, that in a big spot, based off of who I still think he is as a football player, that can contribute the most to an offense, it's Rashee Rice.
Yeah, I mean, again, Travis Kelce, step up. He's been the number one.
He also
receiver.
Had drops. I mean, Rashee Rice had what, 2 drops, 3 drops?
I think you could conservatively say 2. Okay. I think you can make an argument for a third.
All right.
Or maybe a fingertip gets on the ball and adjusts that a little bit. But if it hits your damn hands, then you got to catch it.
Because look, I think the player that Mahomes has connected the most with down the field, has been Tyquan Thorne. I just find a hard time saying, man, going to this game, it's The player that they need the most is Tyquan Thornton. I don't think that's even fair to Tyquan Thornton, frankly, that in the game of the season on the line, that like it's him. That's who down the field I think they should continue to involve more, because for whatever reason, Worthy and Mahomes just can't get on the same page. And that does not mean it's not Mahomes' fault as well. They just cannot get on the same page for whatever reason. Tyquan Thornton, even when Mahomes doesn't throw it the best, he's more capable of going and getting the football than Worthy is. But I can't go into Sunday's game and saying the offensive weapon that has to step up the most is Tyquan Thornton. No, I mean, he's their fourth receiver.
My second answer would be Worthy. I don't think. And somebody on the text line just said it's none of them. It's the offensive play caller. It's Andy Reid needs to figure out.
I agree. We're just talking weapon. You guys know if you listen all week, I think it was the worst coach game the Chiefs have had in a very long time on Sunday. So yes, Andy Reid has to be a hell of a lot better on Sunday. But I don't count that as an offensive weapon for this conversation. But I totally get the logic on why someone would say Andy Reid has to be much
here's
better.
Here's why I can make a strong argument for Worthy. They in this game. This is the number one offense in the NFL, and I don't want to lose sight of that going into it. This team scores 32 points a game and has an entire bye week to prepare for this defense and where their struggles have been as of late.
Does Anarumo scare you?
A little bit, yeah. He's been historically pretty good against Kansas City and pretty good against Patrick Mahomes. But they got an entire week, an extra week, to prepare for Spags' defense, and they are already the number one offense in the NFL. Because of that, I do think that they're going to need some explosive plays. And I'll be honest with you, the explosive plays don't come from Rashee Rice. That's not where they originate. They originate from, and should, from Xavier Worthy. I understand Tyquan Thornton can be a part of that as well. You spent a first-round pick on Xavier Worthy. He was capable of plenty of explosive plays last year. He averaged more depth per target and all the other normal stats you would expect out of an explosive player last year. I do think that there's a part of this game where like they need at least one explosive play. And if I'm guessing where that could come from, that's not Tyquan, I would say,
Worthy still has the speed.
Man, he plays 15 snaps.
Worthy still has the speed. I just wonder, you know, with the ankle injury that he's clearly been dealing with in the shoulder, is that what has led to the production not being there? Because he's got all the opportunities. So yeah, he needs to be better, but is there more of a limitation than we realize right now? I'm not using it as an excuse. Yeah. I'm just saying, is it reality? Is that what is contributing? Because he's giving... he's getting the ball, and I would argue the same type of routes that he normally has. I don't really think they're using him any differently. He's just not been as effective.
Correct. And look, I'm not as far as the text line said. He's a bust.
Hardman.
That's too far. Now, I will say, at the end of this year, if we do a blind resume between Mecole Hardman and Xavier Worthy's first 2 years, they are going to look. It's going to make you a little uncomfortable how close they'll be. Like, I would just...
There's still seven games left in Worthy's second season.
Yeah, I'm just saying but I'm just based on his pacing. I will say at the end of a blind resume of 2 years, Mecole Hardman and Xavier Worthy's stats are going to look a little uncomfortable for the blind resume department. But I think it's fairly obvious even at this stage who's the better receiver. Because through 2 seasons, Mecole Hardman had about 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. And Xavier Worthy has, again, 7 games remaining, but has 919 yards and not as many touchdowns. And so if you start looking at from that perspective, the blind resumes are going to look close.
Yeah.
I still think there's a lot to untap there with Worthy, but I can't tell you that he's been a worse player this year. There's no doubt.
I don't get this text. Limit a player's current production in favor of another player's past production. What? Who is suggesting that? I'm confused.
I think they're just talking about what Xavier, this is the Tyquan Thornton versus Worthy conversation, I'm guessing, and they should just play Worthy more, or play Tyquan more. I'm not saying you can't play Tyquan Thornton. And certainly not play him.
By the way, the player that would get less snaps would be Hollywood Brown, not Xavier Worthy in that scenario, though.
Yeah, I think so. I would think so. I would think it'd be Hollywood. It might be some Xavier Worthy. Protect him anyway. But that, this goes back to you and I. You and I think they need to tighten up the rotation, not expand it. Mm-hmm. Not like everyone plays equal snaps. We're all running around the field trying to figure out who to throw to. I kind of feel like for the next few games, simplify the offense, tighten the rotation, shorten the types of routes, and just try to like what they were at times last year. When they were like running offensively last year, in which it worked, and there were not a bunch of times last year, they were just efficient, ruthlessly efficient. They took 10, 12 plays to get down a field. They just take the 7 or 8 yards you give them, and they just try to go without making a mistake.
Someone says, run to open up, play action, please. Well, yeah, I totally agree with that. That goes back to the go under center, few more times. You don't have to be anywhere near what the Seahawks do, which is 70% of the time under center. But the Chiefs are bottom five in the NFL in runs, or not even runs, sorry, just having plays, not runs, plays under center. And they're in the same category of teams like the Falcons, some bad, bad teams in the bottom half of the league. As much as you're frustrated at the Chiefs being 5-5, they have no business being in same category with some of these teams that they are in the same company of when it comes to going under center. But I don't know why I should be convinced that suddenly last week was the week that's going to shift everything for Andy Reid's process. Basically, to me, it's like they're going to have to just execute better. I don't think they're going to change a ton in how they approach the game. They are who they are, I think, as a staff. So basically, your hope has
to be... they change a little.
Your hope has to be that they just execute better. I mean, it sounds simple, but like that, I think that's the only hope if you move forward for the rest of the season. That they're going to have more luck in some of these spots. That as much as it is regressed towards 0-5 in one score games, that there'll be some positive regression in the final seven.
If you found gold in your apartment walls and you got to keep it, unlike this British guy, right? You find 616,000 pounds or whatever worth it.
You find me?
And they force you to put it on the Chiefs to make the playoffs or miss.
Oh.
You don't get to keep it. You have to place a bet.
I said it last night on...
You have to place a wager.
I said it last night on my betting show. -220 is a terrible bet, but in this hypothetical, I would take the -220. That's a terrible bet. $100 wins 20. It's an awful bet to make.
Yeah,
I think they're making the playoffs, but at -220, it's a terrible bet to make.
If it was even money,
make the playoffs.
Okay,
yeah,
that's because it is.
What
easy.
About you?
I just can't count them out. I don't think they're bad enough or hurt enough to think that they won't continue to win football games.
I'm also answering your question because I think they win Sunday. And if they win Sunday, then I think only losing one the rest of the way after already playing the Colts is very doable.
Yeah, because they've got the Chargers, who are not playing particularly good football right now. The Broncos, a team they played close with, but at home, where they have been
what about you, James?
Better this year, et cetera.
Well, would you take an even money bet, like Cody's hypothetical?
$600,000. You don't make get to keep it. You got to bet it.
The playoffs.
That they're going to make the playoffs? I'd bet it. I'd bet that it would make the playoffs.
Would. Okay.
Yes. And I think, you know, we brought up a subject earlier in the week about is it more likely that they miss the playoffs or make it to the AFC Championship?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they make it all the way to the AFC Championship. If they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to be on a run, and which means they're going to be hot.
That's the weird part of the whole. We'll get. I know. I hope we can have that conversation.
The teams are going to hate facing them if it gets to that point.
I agree, but it's also this is in fairness. We were just talking about this last year with Cincinnati. Remember, Drew kept saying if they just get in, nobody's going to play them. And
Cincinnati had the worst defense in the league.
That's the part.
Because Chiefs are still top 10 in both.
That's the weird part. Is like in normally you're like, no, you are who you are. Like I'm not going to be fearful, but there is some of that. If they all of a sudden clean up the one or two plays late in games. They're a completely different football team. They just have a ton of work to do in these final seven games is the challenge.
This goes back to the same thing. People try to compare apples to oranges for a team that does not have the history the Chiefs do. The difference between Cincinnati last year, had they limped into the playoffs like Drew was talking about, and the reason why they wouldn't have been fearful is their history is nothing close to what the Chiefs go to the AFC title game every single year. The worst season in Patrick Mahomes' career to date is an AFC title game overtime loss. That's it. And so, like, there is a huge part of me that's why I can't just, like, give up on the team. Why I just don't think, they'll never get it together. And all the other metrics that support that they're, you know, typically quite a bit better than they are record-wise, so that stuff. I will say, special teams has been getting a free pass because the offensive teams have been struggling. They have been ass all year.
Oh, I think people have been critical of Tobe.
Dave Tobe's job this year in the offseason should be legitimately looked at. He's going to have to, like, sit down and explain what is it exactly you do around here. We're not good in kick returns. We're not good in kick return coverage. We're bad in field goals, bad in punts. What the hell are we good at? They haven't been good in any particular area of special teams this year. We don't tackle well. Like, you know, what is it you're working on from a special teams perspective? And when you're a margins team, when you're close, having terrible special teams just doesn't help you.
Yeah, I think people have definitely been having the target on Tobe.
Maybe
as
more
well.
Online than on this show, but yeah.
Someone's right. Yeah, if we always get in trouble when we start doing math on this show. You were the same logic applies. The $100 bet is you'd win $40, not 20. Same point. I think it's winning 100 to win, betting 100 to win 40 or betting 100 to win 200. I think are bad bets. That's all. Same thing. Thank you, though.
Someone says Tobe was just banking on them eliminating kickoff altogether. So screw it. I just won't coach it this year. Well, that doesn't explain all the other areas they're awful at. At least if they were. Man, we were talking about like, Tobe's going to wrap this up. Oh, think it. Butker can't even like just keep it in the landing zone half the time. He put it outside of there like five times this year, including in the last game against Denver.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending and also look at the AFC and NFC playoff field. Who's not going to be there when the dust settles at the end of the season? And it's all 32 right here on Cody and Gold.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? It's Chris Jones. You're listening to Cody and Gold. Weekdays 10 to 2 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Every NFL Thursday, your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel. Because FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you'll win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Alex to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/Alex for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and 96.5 The Fan. 21 and present in Kansas, opt-in required. Must apply profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Getting help is your best bet. Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.